Okay, we are in chapter 1. My sister, how many of you like my sister? She's not a bad teacher, huh? She started getting into the nature of God. The first chapter is called Who's Your Daddy? And the way we talk about who's your daddy is, I want to take this chapter on the principle of not theological, not theology. Does everybody know what theology means? Theology means the study of God. But I want to bring it to the place where it is relational. Because our Father didn't create a religion, He created relationship. And so there's a need for us to understand who our Father is. Our Father who art in heaven. Remember that He was called Abba Father. The word Abba is the most intimate word in the Aramaic for daddy. It's like when a child looks in their father's eyes for the very first time and says, Dad, Dad. That's the intimacy of the word Abba. So many people have God at an arm's length, or they treat Him like He's sitting up there with a big hammer, but in actuality, He is that loving God, and the description is like, I'm a hen like wanting to gather my chicks. You know how a chicken gathers her chicks and protects them underneath the shadow of her wings. And this is what God has always wanted to do with His people. He is a very intimate God. He is a very personable God. He is a God that loves. He is a God that has passion. He's a God that laughs. How do we know that God laughs? Because we do. The only emotion that God has never experienced that we have is fear. There is no fear in God. Perfect love casts out all fear. Fear came because of the fall. That's right. And so there was no fear in the garden. And so all of this, all the personality characteristics we have, and so, you know, the good ones, and you know, the way we laugh on our emotions, they're God emotions. And God's put Him in us. And that's the interesting part. The more we know Him, the more we'll be like Him. Like, I love what Jesus said. If you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. And a lot of people just look at Jesus as this dude who was so strict, you know. And all He did was walk around humming. God helps those who help themselves. You know, they just look at Jesus in such a weird way. But He's not weird. You know, Jesus hung out with guys. If I hang out with guys, I mean Christian guys, it's important. You know, they're laughing, they're joking, they're poking, they're probably playing some jokes. You know, Jesus wasn't walking around all stiff-necked. He was a real person, and He had a real life, and He had brothers and sisters, and you got to know that that just causes stress anyways. So, you know, as He's hanging out with the disciples, there's 13 of them, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Come on now. You know, they're laughing, they're joking, they're hanging out. Jesus left. I remember the very first time I saw the picture of Jesus, man of God. Have you ever seen the picture of Jesus with Him laughing? Look it up on the internet, the laughing Jesus. It is so cool because it really shows. I remember the first time I saw that, I was like, wow, you know, that's kind of like not good. I didn't like it at all. Because I've always seen Jesus as this straight-laced dude who, you know, never had fun, never enjoyed life. He was just focused on the Father's business. But Jesus really loved life, and that's what He came to show us. His life is good. Amen? So my sister started going over the nature of our Father, or who and how our daddy thinks, how he lives, how he is, the character, the personality of our Father. Number one, He's all-powerful, which means if your daddy's all-powerful, what's that mean that you have in your pocket, man? There's nothing He cannot do. I know, it's the laughing Jesus. Isn't that cool? If you've never seen that, look it up on the internet right now. It's called The Laughing Jesus. Yeah, it shows Him laughing. But the thing is that nobody sees Him that way because we always see Him in that stringent, nasty character to where He never smiled, never had fun. He was not a real person, really. He was plasticky, and God is not plastic. Amen? So your daddy, shout my daddy. My daddy's all powerful. Now listen, I want you to really realize that. You know, your kids, you just adopted, man, the kids are in your name. Would you do anything in the world to protect your kids? I bet you would, man. I bet if you couldn't move a car, you'd make a car move. You know, you just, but you know, we don't have all power. And I remember when my son Cody was born, he had a pneumothorax. That means he blew a lung on the way out. And so here's this brand new baby turning blue. And they take him and they rush him right to the ICU. He's in an incubator. And they're getting ready to helicopter him. We were up in Ithaca, down to the Arnett. I'm talking like I've never felt more useless with no ability than at that very moment. But watch, your Father in heaven has never felt that because he is all powerful. So no matter what you need, your daddy is on your side and he can get the job done. Amen? He's also all knowing, which is good and bad for us. Amen. I mean, he knows everything. You ever try to hide something from your parents? My mother's here. I got a great example. I used to steal cigarettes from the next door neighbor, Mrs. Tui, and she smoked the menthol. What do they call those? The green menthol ones. Newports. Newport menthols. So I used to steal, you know, they had so many cigarettes. And so, I mean, they really did. They had cartons after cartons. She actually died, I believe, of lung cancer. And so, you know, here I am. I'm stealing her cigarettes. And, I'm not smoking them at the house, you know. And so I take this pack of cigarettes and I put them in a sock. And I had this bureau that was like this tall. Ma, help me now. This about this tall. Had a mirror on one side, the things on the other. And on the bottoms, it had like, what do they call those? Clamshell kind of things. So I took that pack of cigarettes in that sock and slid it all the way to the back. And you know something? My mother, one day I came up the stairs and my mother said, I need to talk with you. And I said, yeah. She says, look what I found. You'll stop or I'll tell your father. Now I was really afraid of my father. I stopped smoking that day. But you want to know what's amazing? Is my ma, I don't know how she got under there, but she found that pack of cigarettes. But God, he even knows what you think. Man, he knows your very thoughts. Your daddy knows your thoughts. And you know, there were things I did not want my parents, I still don't want my parents to know. But my Father in heaven already knows. You know, that's the amazing part. When we start really knowing our daddy, we really start knowing our Father. It's more than God in heaven. It is my dad. My dad is all powerful, man. You don't touch me. You touch me, you got to touch my dad. And then I can't hide anything from him. So why are we trying to hide things from him? Just be honest with him. Honesty. I'm in a singing mode tonight. So let's move on. Here we go. Your daddy's all present. You know, there were times that I had this bully in high school, and he was always after me. I was short. I was 5'2" in the 10th grade. You know, I weighed 100 and maybe 110 pounds. And they used to call me Little One. The girls liked me. I mean, it was great. You know, the girls, I always, you know. But the fact was, is the guys, this one kid, man, he found me. And punched me in the mouth. Then he says, Spencer, and he was always with a gang of guys, you know what I mean? Spencer, I'm going to get you. And I started dropping weight, man, because I'm hiding, you know, behind doors because there's six of those guys. And I know they'd all beat the snot out of me at the same time. And so finally, you know, I just really wish my dad would have been there. I wish somebody would have been there to protect me. And finally, my father looked at me and says, you go to school, you're going to fight him, or I'm going to beat you when you get home. So we won't get into that story. The next one is that your daddy doesn't change. And that means this. There's one thing you can know for sure. If he says it, he means it. He's not going to take it back. He's not going to change his mind. You know, sometimes our parents have promised stuff and then they just don't come through with them. Your father, it is yay and amen. If your daddy says it, you can count on it. He's not going to change his mind. He's not going to twist it up. It's going to be constant. It's going to be consistent. You have an awesome dad in heaven. Many people have never had a good dad here on earth. So what happens is they have a real challenge with identifying with the Father in heaven. You know, they look, and let's be honest, we look at Father God the way our parents treated us. That's the first initial response. How your dad interacted with you is usually how your first picture of God the Father is, which can be really good or really bad. Some people never had a dad. So they have, I had some guys say, I can pray to Jesus all day long. I have a great relationship with Jesus, but I never talk to God. And I said, I don't get it. He said, well, I never had a dad, so why talk to him? But you see, that's how we interact. That's how our minds work. So there is that interaction. So it's imperative that you and I start purging even how our earthly parents treated us and try to really assimilate how God is and who he is as our father and how he wants to interact with you. Because he loves you, man. He's there all the time. He is all powerful. He is not changing. He does know everything. No hiding. And so it's important that we recognize who he is. Now, another thing about his personality is that our father is loved. Now, that's the best part, because God will never give up on us. He cares. He's never going to just walk away. He's always going to be there. He has full wisdom. Our God is good. Amen. Many people think God is bad. They don't see God as good. They see God as bad. But God is good. You know, the old religious folk are funny because they're just waiting for God to get you. You know what I mean? In fact, somebody asked me today. They said, I think God is punishing me. And I said, well, why do you think God is punishing you? He said, because things are going wrong in my life. That is not who my daddy is. So what happened is somehow, and I'm assuming it's from his natural father, that's what his natural dad would do to him when he was punishing him. He would start taking things or making his life horrible. And that's now how he pictures God the Father. We have got to have a transition. Again, these are all ones that you've already gone through. Our Father is faithful. That means you can trust him. Many people can't trust other people. And you know, let's be honest, people fail us. Anybody ever had somebody fail you? Somebody you trusted? Somebody you really cared about? I mean, you would never have thought that they would have ever done anything like that. And many times, we look at God and wait for the boom, you know what I mean? We kind of wait for the shoe to drop. And you don't have to do that. Your Father is faithful. He will always be there. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll love you even in your mess. Anybody got a mess before? Amen. He still loves you. He's faithful. He is an awesome father. Now, I know fathers that if you don't do everything they want, they literally kick you out. But your dad's not interested in kicking you out. He's interested in making you whole. Amen. Now, it does mean you can still disappoint your father. You can still disappoint God. You can still get out of the favor of God, but you can never chase away the love of God. Okay? He is full of mercy. Now, what is mercy? Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Can you imagine if our Father gave us what we deserved? I think I wrote that quote this morning. I think it was this morning on Facebook, where it said, many people sin freely because somebody else has paid the price. Was it this morning? How much less sin would there be if we had to pay our own price? I bet you would stop sinning. If every time you sinned, you had to pay that price yourself. Let's just say they hit you with a rod in the back. Every time you sin, they would just take a rod and they just schwack. How many times do you think you would continue to sin? Yeah, I mean, it doesn't take a long time to figure this out, that it hurts. I remember trying to quit swearing in high school with Timothy Prevere. And Timothy Prevere and I came to the place of saying, every time one of us swears, then you just got to stand there and the other guy's going to stiff arm your shoulder. Pow! You know, Timmy, he could hit. And it took me twice. The F-bomb stopped pretty much immediately. Because I realized, I don't want Timmy hitting me. Yes.
Sailing. They used to have a duck in the school.
Yes.
They tie you to it. They put you in the water. If you came up alive, you were a witch. You were dead. You were all right.
That sounds uncomfortable to me.
Yes.
Well, we should try that next week. Every time you've sinned, we're going to dunk you. Is that fair? Think about it. If we had to pay the price that Jesus already paid, we'd be sinning a lot less. Amen? But God is full of mercy. We don't get what we deserve. And let me tell you, all of us deserve death. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. He is one with great mercy. And the Bible says in Psalms, I've got a ton of verses, 106:1, praise the Lord, O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his mercies endure forever. Psalms 163, verse 1 through 3, O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercies endures forever. O give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. Lamentations 3:22-23. Through the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. But the Bible does say that God will not always strive with man. Now, we deal with this in the book of Romans, where the book of Romans makes the declaration, shall we continue to sin because God's grace abounds? And the answer was, certainly not. Well, here we are, we've got to make a decision. Yes, God is merciful. Thank the Lord. Can I amen? Amen. Everybody here should say amen twice. Amen. Because God is merciful. We're not getting what we deserve. We deserve death. We deserve to pay for our own sins. We deserve to be cast into the lake of fire. We deserve that. There's nothing we have done that has earned our way to heaven. You will never be good enough to earn your way to heaven. It is by the mercies and the grace of God through faith that we have received salvation, not of ourselves, lest any man should boast. So we are in an amazing position of our Father being so merciful. But remember that we don't want to over-exercise his mercy in our lives just because he's merciful. You're a very quiet crew tonight. I'm going to preach to myself. Our Father is full of grace. What is grace? Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Here's another really good definition of grace. God is full of grace. That means grace is giving you the power to live for him. So many people say, I can't seem to live for God. I've had people who are dealing with alcoholism or dealing with drug addictions or dealing with other struggles in their life where they say, I just can't seem to overcome this. I can't seem to make it. Well, listen, I want you to know that your Father is full of grace. Grace is the power that is put inside of you to do it. That's why the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. After you've done all you can do to stand, stand therefore. Amen? In Ephesians chapter 6, it gets into the factor of that we stand in his power, of the power of his might, not the power of our might. So here we are as believers. We are in this posture that we have a Father who's full. Man, he is not lacking. He is not half full, not quarter full, not 99% full. He is full of grace. That means we have all the power we need to live successful. He's a good daddy. Amen?
Amen.
He's also holy. The Bible talks about holiness. What is holiness? Hi, everybody online. What is holiness? Holiness means a separation.
Set apart.
God is holy, which means this. God cannot be in the presence of sin. Can't be. That's why he says, no man has seen the Lord. When Moses saw his backside, the backside of God, he literally shone. The Bible says that his skin glowed when he came off the mountain. The glory of God is so powerful, and if we actually saw God face to face in our physical bodies, we would be consumed. Every single time that, let's just take John the Revelator in the book of Revelations, he saw Jesus. Now remember, he hung out with Jesus. But after Jesus was glorified, he came down and he appeared to John the Revelator on the Isle of Patmos near about 199 to 100 AD and gave him the book of Revelations to write. Now when John saw him, the Bible says that he fell on his face as dead. That the presence, when he saw the glory of God, when he saw the holiness of God, when he saw the purity of God, it so overwhelmed him that he could not even stand in his presence. Holiness is powerful because the holiness of God is that God cannot sin. And I don't know about you, but that's a really good thing. God cannot sin. In fact, God cannot have sin in his presence, and that's why Adam and Eve were extracted from the Garden of Eden. That's why they could no longer walk in the cool of the day with the Father, because God can have no sin. God is calling you and I to be holy. The Bible says in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26, live holy lives before me because I, God, am holy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, and God said, I am holy, you be holy. So what God is asking us to do is to live right. The Christian world today parallels the world so tightly. George Barna, I've given this example before, but George Barna, has anybody ever heard of George Barna? He's the church statistician. His whole job is he just takes surveys on church folk. It's pretty interesting. And he finds out different ideas and what's going on with the church world at large. And he did a study on the comparison between Christians and non-Christians. And amazingly enough, they were within 1 to 2% of each other on every single value. On giving, they were the same. On going to watching pornography was just a few points difference. Different habits, he went through different habits, pretty much the same. Really, you found that Christians are not living holy. Now, a lot of people need to recognize that our holiness is of the Lord. But at the same time, we have a responsibility to live right. We have a responsibility to live right, which means be holy for I am holy, saith the Lord, which God is saying, listen, walk right, live right. Somebody said to me, well, you know, Pastor, you're a little bit legalistic. I said, great, no problem. I hope you don't mind. I'm going to stand up on Sunday morning and drop the F-bomb 5 or 6 times in my sermon. Is that all right with you? Well, no. Well, why? What's the big deal? You do it. Let's just go to the bar. We'll both get drunk. I'll go home with another woman. It's really no big deal, right? Oh, it is a big deal? Well, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? Think about it. What's the big deal? I mean, let's go smoke some weed. What's the big deal? Oh, we're supposed to be different. Oh, that's right. Well, I mean, it's really no big deal. I mean, you're not going to go to hell for smoking a little weed. It's medicinal. God created the plant. But you see, here we are. The Christian world has so adopted and is so okay with living the way they want to live that when we say, if we let the preacher do what people are doing, they're going to get mad at the preacher and leave the church. Yeah. I'm talking the sinners won't come to the church because sinners know how to live right too. Yeah. Sinners know when you're not right. Yeah, that's why they call you hypocrites. You know what I mean? You go to the bar, you're toasted, and you start talking about Jesus. Yeah, of course. Because they know you're not supposed to be drinking like that. They know you're not supposed to be going home with somebody you're not married to. They know that. The world knows how the church should live. The Bible is saying that God is calling us. Our Father is holy, and we want to be like our dad. Now, I'm not talking we're going to live perfect, but that's why we have Jesus. If you sin, amen. You know, you don't have to sin. You choose to sin. Yeah. You're a tough crew tonight. How am I going to go to Florida? I was supposed to be in Florida tonight. You choose to sin. You don't have to sin. You choose to sin. I think that you're afraid to admit it, because if you admit it, then you don't have to. You could use that excuse until you read the book of Romans. I've tried it a few times. You don't have to sin. You choose to sin. You don't have to sin. You choose to sin. Oh my. Because remember, the Bible says that you're no longer slaves to sin, Romans chapter 6, that God has given you the power, that's called the grace, has given you the power because he broke the power of sin in your life. So every one of us, every time we sin, we can't say the devil made us do it. We can't say I'm just in a bad situation. We've made a conscious choice to not be holy. We made a conscious choice. You ever seen somebody, listen, we've all come across individuals like this, that maybe didn't shower for a week? I'm not talking hunting.
I was going to say,
we all kind of do that.
Yeah. We used to go to Maine hunting, and I wouldn't bathe or shower for a week. We'd eat sauerkraut every morning. Woo, come on now. We keep everybody warm. Hallelujah. Now watch, have you ever been around somebody that doesn't shower?
Yes.
You know, they don't smell themselves anymore. They've acclimated to their aroma. It's true. Sunday, I forgot to put deodorant on. Now, I didn't preach as hard as normal, but I was still as wet as normal. And I took my jacket off second service, and I said to Terry, oh, man, I stink. I stunk, man. Because, I shower and I use deodorant, but, you know, not everybody does. And depending on the country you go to, you know, there are countries that I've been to where deodorant is not a normal thing. It's abnormal if somebody wears deodorant. And so I remember one day sitting on the airplane, and a woman came back. She got like 3 seats from me. And she didn't shower for a long time. And she came and sat next to me. And the only way I survived that airplane trip was putting my head against the window and turning that thing up really big. But she didn't smell herself anymore. Yes, sir. What's that? No, thank you. No. So what I'm trying to show you is this, is that they have the ability to shower. They choose not to. And the thing is, they can't smell themselves anymore, but you can. You might not be able to smell yourself with the sin all over you. Be ye holy, for I am holy, says the Lord. And it's also a matter of honor. You know, my father was a really good spanker. He had a black belt. And he would say to me, or my mother would say to me, go to your room, your father will be home. And I would go up to the room, and my father was really good with that belt. And he would say, okay, bend over the bed. And now, he didn't beat me. I mean, I'd have screamed he beat me, but I would have, yeah. He hit me good. I mean, I didn't have welts, but I definitely had pain. And that's what the purpose of spanking is to bring in a great awakening. And so, I mean, I knew that I really didn't want to make my father displeased. I got spanked a lot. I got spanked a lot, didn't I, Ma? I did. I got spanked a lot. No, I was stupid. Well, what happened was this, is that sometimes you're just not too intelligent. The thing that we need to recognize about our daddy is full of mercy and he is full of grace, but he still is holy. And so there's a need for us to know that his mercies will never end, but at the same time, he will not always strive with man. So what he'll do is he'll start stepping away from you. And then your heart will start getting hard. So we choose not to sin. And everybody knows that I was afraid of my natural dad, but we should have a good, healthy fear of our Heavenly Father. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The word fear there doesn't mean, ah! But what it does mean is an honor and a respect to where you want to please your Father. You know, one thing I've always found, and I've been in ministry a long time, is that all children want to please their dad, even if they don't like their father. Even if their father, they want to please their dad. All children want to please their dad. And as children of God, our goal should be holy, for he is holy, not because you're trying to fulfill some religious obligation, but because you want to please your father. I want to be like him. So I'm going to abstain from sin by willful choice because I have the grace and the power to do it. And if I am foolish and I do choose to sin, thank God for his mercy. And if I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. But remember, there's a difference between consistent sin and sinning. Sin, being a sinner, and sinning are two different things. The next one is, your dad is just and fair. Which means he's not going to blame you for what your sister did. I don't know why that happened to me a lot. Whatever my sisters did, I got blamed for. It wasn't true. Your father, because he is everywhere at one time, he knows who did what. He's just and he's fair. He is just. Everybody knows what the word just means. It's a part of the word of justice. And justice means that he is one that is going to hold to whom is accountable. We are accountable. Amen. You know, we're not in this, you know, that big grace movement that's out there right now. You can do whatever you want, and daddy's already pre-forgiven you, and you can live any style of life you want. There are preachers out now drinking at the bars. In fact, on the airport back from Florida, there was only, in that airport, the only place to sit is in the bar. So we're sitting at the tables in the bar, and the bartender's back there, and she's talking about the preacher that was there last week who missed his flight. Because he drank too many beers. All right, let's move on. Your daddy does get angry. Father God does get angry. You don't want daddy mad at you. He will be just. He will have levels of mercy. But he loves you enough to beat you when you need to be beat. The Bible says, if you are not disciplined, you're no more than a bastard, which means you have no father. So God is a discipliner. He is a good disciplinarian. He is a fair disciplinarian. But God gets mad. God gets ticked off when he sees you stub your finger up and flip him the bird and tell him you're going to live any way you want. You don't want daddy mad at you. Wow, you're quiet tonight. You don't, listen, there's not a lot of, we've been trying to beat step two. I mean, they're smoking us now. So you need to grab people next week and get them here. Because I refuse to lose to Carla Vischer. Okay? I'm going to start grabbing people on Sunday morning. You got to be there Tuesday night. You got to be there. Truthfully, you don't want daddy mad at you. He's fair and he's just. But there is a price to pay. Look at Moses. Look at Jonah. How would you like to be in the digestive tract of a fish? I hate fish. And the fish didn't like it either. That's got to be uncomfortable. It's like he was pregnant. You know, you got to know that there is justice. And, you know, we're in this thing right now, and by rights, we're looking for justice for Kelly. You know, we want justice for a crime that's been committed, a horrific crime that's been committed. Yet we forget that our Father God is just too, and that there are penalties for sin. The wages of sin is death. Now, what's so good about our God is that God many times will hold or stay a consequence for a while. But after a while, he'll let the consequence happen. I've seen people that have done bad things. I had an uncle, you know, in the church I grew up in, everybody was your uncle or not, Gary Wilcox. And he became a preacher. I don't know if he's even still alive. But he became a preacher. But before that, he was a Hell's Angel in New Jersey. And he had killed people. I don't know how many he killed. One's enough. And then he got saved. And he and his wife went to Bible college. And then he was in ministry. And all of that was stayed. He didn't pay consequence for that. But I remember one day, one of the young ladies from the church knocked on our door and said, "Can I see Pastor Rhonda? I need to talk with her immediately." And Rhonda went out there and she said, "I've only had sex once in my life and I'm pregnant. And I'm 16. Consequence. When you play with sin, it's like playing with a mouse trap. At some point in time, it's going to get you. And so you got to stay away from sin. And you don't want daddy mad at you. You know one thing that I found too, the justice of the anger of God is that God will get mad at you, discipline you because he loves you. He's trying to save you from yourself. God wants to save you from yourself. He loves you so much. He's so passionate for you. You're his baby. And you know when you see your child doing, the other day, we're sitting in the living room and where's Sophia? Well, let me explain my house. The living room is here. There's a pellet stove over here. You go out to the kitchen, and then I have a wood stove. It's, I don't know, they did it in a very strange way. It's almost like it's in its own little room with chimney stuff, and it's all brick, but you step down into the wood stove area. And so where's Sophia? She's quiet. Sophia's quiet? Bad. She's only two. Bad. It's bad. Rhonda went out there, and we don't hear any screaming. We only hear, hi, Sophia, come here, honey. Because the wood stove was blazing. I mean, I had it pumping hot before we went to Florida the last time. She was down inside, right next to the wood stove. If she had fallen, the baby gate would melt. No, it wouldn't. There's nothing there to hold it. It's weird. It's wide open. And there's no way to stop. You know what? If she'd have fallen in there, it'd have melted her face. No, literally. It'd have melted her body. Whatever hit would have melted. And so here we are. You know, when Rhonda got her out of there, we disciplined her. Was that discipline mean? Absolutely not. That discipline saves her. Discipline is your friend, not your enemy. And you don't want God mad at you. What does it mean when God gets mad? It means you're not listening. Yes. Oh, you're in trouble. Here we go. Okay, so your daddy is also sovereign. Now, if you have the book, there are verses that go all the way down through that. The word sovereign means that God can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants. And a lot of religious people use the sovereignty of God as their excuse that God can do whatever he desires. But remember, there are two things that God cannot do. And what are they? So there's three things God cannot do. God cannot sin. That's a really good one. God cannot go against his word. And God cannot go against your will. Yeah, that kind of goes with him. God can't sin. So there's three things. I've always just used two. You guys, throw me a swinger on that one. God can never... It was a good one. God can never go against your will, and God can never go against his word. If God goes against his word, then he can no longer be God because he has lied. So the sovereignty of God is true. God can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants, yet he cannot go in those two worlds. He cannot go against your will. God cannot make you. Somebody once said to me, will you pray that, it was a young man, will you pray that my wife will come back home? And I said, I'll pray that, but she has free will. Right. God will not make her come back to you. God can put uncomfortable situations in her life, but God cannot make her come back to you. It's free will choice. God cannot do that, and God will not go against his word. If God says it, it is yay, it's amen, it's done. So that's the sovereignty of the Lord. Now, I want to get into some of the names of God. They're really cool, too. And we're going to end this one tonight. What time is it? 7:42. Now, in America, what's really interesting is names don't mean a lot. Stand up and tell everybody your name.
Stand up. I'm Aaron.
What does Aaron mean? Right. Stand up. What's your name? Yeah. Evelyn? What's your name mean?
Hi, I'm Jay.
What's your name mean?
No idea. I'm James, Sir Planner.
Very good?
Yep.
Sir Planner's not a good one.
Well, my mother told me.
Oh. Forever Young? That's stinking cool. I like that. Yes.
Charles is a man of the people, but I go by Chip.
By Chip? How does that work? No, I'm just kidding.
I don't like Charles.
He doesn't want to be the man of the people. Yeah. Oh, you know it. Warrior, go on. And it means? Don't know. Honestly, this is really important because, you see, I'm trying to show you something that in America, names don't really mean much. They don't mean much. You know, we name a kid after a football player, after your old aunt that used to give you extra money. What's your name?
Mine didn't have a name.
Meaning is a baby name. What's yours? What's it mean? The name Brittany is an American baby name. It doesn't say it. It doesn't say what it is. It just says where it came from. Find out what it is. Everybody find out what your name means. Yes?
My name is Adam, and they know it means the first guy on earth, Adam.
The first guy on earth. Awesome. So, come on, find your name. What does it mean? What does it mean? A broad meadow? That's why you're growing a beard like that. Inspired. Very good. Light? Life. Oh, that's really cool. Evelyn means life. High mountain. Go on, Jay. Healed. Stinking. That's really cool. It doesn't like you? Like unto God. That's why you never name a child Michael. Never. Yep, you never name a child Michael. It means like unto God, and Lucifer makes them the worst children on planet. Yeah, that's what it means. Yeah, like unto God. Yep. They're good names, but boy, I tell you, you haven't found a really good Michael in a long time, have you? Not when they're young. Not when they're young. What's that?
Mine means noble and bright.
Noble and bright.
The last
one. It's important. Now, you see, you and I, that's really fun for us. We find out what our name means. What's your name? What's it mean?
Me?
Yeah.
Jamie.
Yeah. Supplanter. So you're the same as... Oh, you better look it up.
She had a chart where she wrote our first and middle name and wrote some stuff.
James?
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Wow. So James and Jamie are the same definition. That is really stinking cool.
Mine is Christmas Day.
You know what it means, Christmas Day? Wow. Yes, Ma.
My name means gracious.
Yes, he has. He gave you a great son. Names are important. Did you find yours?
Yep. It means guardian.
Guardian. Well, what are you doing, dude?
No, that's funny.
Now, this is really cool because when you were in the Old Testament, you were named after an event or what someone wanted you to be. So here we are. There's Samuel. The Ark of the Covenant is taken. His sons are killed. The old prophet is sitting on a stool, and they come and tell him that his sons and the Ark of the Covenant are gone. And his daughter-in-law, who's pregnant, comes out, and she immediately goes into labor. Grandfather drops over, breaks his neck, and dies. And she named the child Ichabod. The presence of the Lord has departed. Have you ever read Hosea and read the names of the babies? Those poor children. But because Ma was a whore, they named the children after bad things. I mean, it would amaze you. The names mean so much. You know, what's the name of Jesus?
Savior. Messiah.
Matthew 1.
God with us.
Thank you. Emmanuel. God with us. His name is Emmanuel, which means, was Jesus God with us on this planet? Exactly. So names play a massive part. They show the personality. They show the character. They show the nature of the person whose name it is. And that's why in America, you know, we've kind of missed a little bit because we don't put names to the child. But when a name was given in the Old Testament, it literally told you the character and the nature of the one who held that name. So if that was Ichabod, don't name your children Ichabod. If it was Ichabod, it's bad. That means the presence of the Lord has departed. How would you like that? Hi, what's your name? Ichabod. Oh, well, wow, dude. No. There's another name. You ready? It's called Peleg. You can look that one up. Peleg. You know what that name means? When the earth was divided. That's a name?
Yeah.
It sounds kind of splintery to me. Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know. You'd have to look it up. Yeah, you just have to. What's that?
Dathan.
What's Dathan?
Dathan was swallowed.
Okay. Ma. You stopped the whole class. I'm just kidding. Nabal, fool. Amen. Look at all these, like unto God.
What's your name? We just looked yours up.
Michael. And my mother spelled it wrong, so it's really not. It's French. Michelle. Okay, so let's get into the names of God so we can move past this emotional situation of my mother spelling my name wrong on the birth certificate. Okay. Here we go. Ready? The names of God do the same thing. We can learn who our daddy is and what he does by his name. So here it is. Jehovah Lord. Now, the word, the Jews, they found God to be so holy, they actually would never say his name. You need to know that. So like the name Jehovah is a shot in the wind. Because they only would use consonants, they would not use vowels. In fact, if you find a Jew and they write the name God, they do not write the name God, it's G-D. Because they find that God is too holy even to write his name. And so Jehovah is the best they can come up with the right putting in vowels, I'll put it that way. So the word Jehovah and Yahweh, the word Lord means Yahweh. Yahweh is the contractual name of God. Genesis chapter 2, verse 4. This is the history of heavens and earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God, Yahweh, made the earth and the heavens. Deuteronomy 6, 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. So Yahweh is a powerful word. Now, the way they would spell his name is YHWH. No vowels. The next one is called Yahweh Jireh, Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. Genesis 22:14, and Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. So this means this. If you're a guy, if you're a giver, you're a tither and a sower, you positioned yourself for God to be your provider. You should never worry about money. No, honestly, you should never worry about money. Money should never be an issue for you. And the reason for that, when you know your daddy and you're a tither and you're a seeder, then you know it is his job. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed out begging for bread. He is Jehovah Jireh. I am the God that provides. God will always provide. He'll provide your needs according to his riches in glory. What are his riches in glory? What's in glory? What's in glory?
Jesus.
It's heaven. Very good. In heaven, what is lacking?
Nothing.
What is missing?
Nothing.
What is broken?
Nothing.
So according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus in glory. So here we are. You know this, that God the provider will always take care of you. In fact, I'm going to destroy half of your prayer life, because the Lord says, don't ever pray for what you're going to eat. Don't pray for where you're going to sleep, and don't pray for what you're going to wear.
Yep.
Matthew, don't even pray for them.
True.
That's half your prayer life all gone. The reason for that is, if the birds of the air and the flowers, and he knows the very hairs on your head, he said he'll take care of you. He is Jehovah Jireh. So I've always come to this place to where we really just never worry about money, because it's his job to take care. This is what he does by nature. This is his character. This is his personality. Something that I don't have to try to make him do. Something that I don't have to try to twist his arm for. If I'm a tither and I'm a cedar, my God will provide. My God, he is Jehovah Jireh in my life. He will always take care of all my needs. Amen. He's also Jehovah Rapha. He is the God that healeth thee. Genesis chapter 15, verse 26, for I am the God that heals thee. The word heal there means Rapha, and that means in wholeness. That means that in your spirit, your soul, and your body, God wants you whole. God doesn't want you just whole in your spirit, man, where you're going to heaven. He doesn't want you just whole in your spirit and your body. He also wants you whole in your soul. He wants your intellect, your emotions, and your will to be restored. He restores us. Amen. That's what he does best. He reupholsters us, receiving the engrafted word of God that saves our soul. Sozo. That's James chapter 1. God wants to reupholster your heart, the emotions that have been wounded and devastated, and people walking around with hurts and bitterness, people walking around with broken hearts, people walking around with depressions and stinking thinking. God wants to heal you. That's what Jehovah Rapha does. That's why when I pray for the sick people, I don't freak out. I don't have to like get a hemorrhoid trying to make it happen, because it's his nature. I'm just talking to my dad. This is what my dad does. You know, after I really learned a lot of this principle, a person walked up to me one day and said, yeah, you know, God put cancer on my mother, you know, to teach her something spiritual. And I literally, my blood started to boil instantly. And I looked at him and I says, don't you ever talk about my father that way. You ever had somebody come up and talk about your parent in a bad way?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it was your other parent. No, I'm just kidding. You know, and you say, listen, you don't know them. What are you talking about? You know, and you want to fight them. You want to punch them in the head. Why? Because they're talking bad about your mother. You're talking bad about your father. They don't even know that. They have the right to speak about them. Listen, when you know your daddy, he's Jehovah Rapha. He wants to heal you. He wants you healthy. He wants to provide for you. He is the ever constant one in your life. He is Jehovah Nisi, the Lord of victory. That means he is the banner over me as love. That means he is going to protect you. Man, you got no better protector than God himself. Amen. He is Jehovah Shalom. He is your peace. When you're struggling with all hell breaking loose in your life, you can sit in the middle of peace. The Bible says that his peace will be your guard. That his peace will be your governor in your life. Colossians chapter 3. That the peace of God will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. It is a peace that doesn't even make sense. Why? Because your daddy is Jehovah Shalom. He is Jehovah Peace. The Bible talks about climbing in the cleft of the rock. I don't know if you've ever heard of that or not. But the Bible says that God is the cleft of the rock. Well, what is that? That is on a mountainside where the winds are whipping and the storms are coming down. There's a little honed out area, and you can climb in that spot and you'll never feel the wind. You'll never feel the storm. You'll be protected from all sides. That is the cleft of the rock. He is Jehovah Nisi in your life. He is Jehovah Shalom in your life. He is Jehovah Tisid Kanu. Yes. Now, I didn't say canoe. I said Tisid Kanu. Which means he is your righteousness. Amen. He is Jehovah Shema, which means God, the Lord is present. And he is Jehovah Shabbath, which is the Lord of hosts, Lord Almighty, King of glory, which means he'll fight for you. So knowing your daddy is awesome. And I think one of the saddest things that I had growing up was, and I'm going to throw my dad under the bus on this one. My dad still thinks going to church is what makes you right with God. You can go to church and still go to hell. There are preachers going to church. Preachers going to hell. You know, not too long ago, even locally, a local preacher was cheating on his wife. If that preacher stayed in that mode, he's going to hell.
Yeah.
Don't matter if he's got a preacher name on him. It has nothing to do with accountability. It has to do with relationship. It's a relationship with God. You know, this is where you and I have to really pay attention, because we're not talking about religion. We're talking about knowing him. You know, the verse for His Tabernacle Family Church, this is our verse. It's been since the very first opening day. And I don't know if you realize that last week was the 19th anniversary of His Tabernacle Family Church when we started at the Holiday Inn. We're starting to plan the 20th anniversary. It is going to be a shindig that's going, you might want to start saving now. It's probably going to be $50 a head or more. So you want to start putting money aside. And it's going to be next year, February. I don't know where we're going to have it yet. We've got to find a location that will house at least 500. We might have to do it here. And do 500, have it catered. It is going to be awesome. So you want to save. When we did the 10-year, 300 people came out to it. It was awesome. So we'll have special speakers. It's going to be a great celebration. But all of that to say this, because I don't know why I even said that. It's all about relationship. And you got to know him. Oh, that's the verse for the year. Ready? Here it is. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. What is eternal life? It's not going to heaven. That's religious. Religion is the final goal is getting to heaven. I want you to know that getting to heaven is the cherry on top. But getting to heaven is not the goal. If it's your goal, you're missing that the kingdom of God is in you. The goal is living for him and knowing him. I mean, knowing him. That word knowing is the same as the Abba word, where they hold that child. God wants you to know him. He wants you to see him truly as he is. He's a daddy. He loves you. He cares for you in every facet of your life. And because we can't hide anything, he even knows the most intimate details, and he still loves us. That's a good dad. Amen. And here we have so many people seeking after religion, and he just simply wants us to seek after him. Which one? John 17:3, our verse for the year, our verse for the church. Bow your head with me. I want to take you on a little picture adventure as we end. I met this woman in Rochester. Her name was Mom B. And I stayed at her house in 1985 in Rochester, New York. And she had a vision from the Lord, and she shared it with us, and I want to share it with you. All of a sudden, if you can picture this in your mind's eye, you're standing in the throne room of God. I'm talking like everything is just gold, and it is a monstrous room. And at the front of the room, you can see the ivory, and you can see the pearl, and you can see the throne of God. And she said, I looked up and I could see Jesus. I knew it was Jesus sitting on the throne. I couldn't see his face, but I could see everything down below. And I could just see that the big white swirl of his garment. And literally standing in front of me, she said, I could see millions and millions and millions of people. And each one by one, were walking before the throne. And they would talk to him until all of a sudden, I looked and it was just him and I in the room. She said, and I noticed that he was weeping. I noticed that he was crying. And she said, Lord, I don't understand. All your people came to you, and all your people were sharing their needs with you. And she said, I could just see that he was weeping. And she says, Lord, what's wrong? And he said, doesn't anybody just want me? Doesn't anybody just want me? Doesn't anybody just want me? Most of the time, we're after God for something. But God's greater desire is that you know him. Do you want him or just what he can do for you? And when you answer that in your own heart, if it's the wrong heart, then readjust it. Because he is Jehovah Jireh. He is your all-powerful Father. He is your ever-present. He is faithful and merciful, and he is full of grace, and he is holy, and he is just. And greatest of all, he is love. And he really, really, really loves you. So if you were standing in that big throne room right now, what would you say to him? What would you say to him personally? I pray that it's, I want to know you. Because he wants you to know him. Not just know about him. He wants you to know him. So this week, your homework. You're not allowed to pray to God all week long. You can only pray to Daddy. I want you to talk to him as a father. And some of you might have had sucky fathers. He's not that sucky father. No, he's not. Talk to him as your daddy. Don't call him God. Don't call him Father. I want you to call him Daddy. It's hard. It is hard, especially for Catholics. Catholics struggle the most. They actually think it's disrespectful. And I can prove it's not. Romans chapter 8. He told us to call him Abba Father. Daddy. So you're only allowed to pray to Daddy this week. And then I want you to share with me next week what that experience was. Okay? Light? No, life, right? Life. High mountain? Yes, Sue Planter. Daddy.
Okay.
That's all you can do this week is Daddy.
Okay.
And it's going to be really tough for some of you. But this is where you can break through. Some of you need a breakthrough in your relationship with Father God. Some of you really need to know your Daddy. You need him. You need him in your life. You know, you have no problem with Jesus. He's your elder brother. But you have a hard time with your Daddy, your Father in heaven, because your earthly dad stunk. But you need him, and he wants to love you. He really wants to pour himself out in your life. He wants to give you life on a high mountain. No supplanting. Right, guardian? Amen. What was yours, Jay?
Healer.
Yeah. Oh, dude, that's really a great name. Anybody have any questions? It's a great class, isn't it? It's one of my favorite ones because it really messes up the religious. You know? Anybody have any questions? Yes.
I know one thing that you spoke of earlier about you think you go to church and that makes you a Christian. I saw this once and it goes, if going to a church makes you a Christian, does going to a car, sorry, does going to a garage make you a car?
That's right. And it doesn't. And there are a lot of people deceived because the religious world actually teaches if you join a church, you're going to heaven, and it's not true. And this is eternal life, that you may know the Father and the Son whom he sent. That's eternal life. Heaven's not eternal life. Knowing him's eternal life. The more you know him, oh my goodness. That's what changes everything, guys. The more you actually know him, church changes, your work changes, your relationships change. Everything changes the more you know him. Because you stop looking through you and your past experiences, and you start basing your life on him and his consistencies. Amen? No more questions? How's your hyenies? I heard those are hard chairs. My mother and Al went and got the blue purple ones. I love you. Thank you so much. Make sure you grab somebody next week. If you're sitting in church on Sunday, why don't you ask two or three people if they've gone to Rock Solid Faith yet, and then bring them with. Go pick them up if you have to. Bring them with you next week. Good. Awesome. Everybody sign in.